Hey love, welcome to the Selfish Babe podcast, aka Selfish Talk, hosted by me, Olanike OC. Selfish Babe is a personal development and women's lifestyle brand dedicated to women learning how to selfishly and authentically love themselves. On this podcast, expect to have your mind expanded, curse words said, and to gain a new perspective about who the fuck you are. Let's get into it. The Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast is sponsored by my company, Goddess Detox. Goddess Detox is a holistic wellness company dedicated to providing women with self-love-inspired products to physically, spiritually, and emotionally detox. If you are a woman wanting to detox her ex, detox negative emotions, as well as to get more in tune with yourself and your vagina, check out our Goddess Vaginal Detox Pearls, as well as our Queen's Theme and Queen's Throne Combo, which is the in-home vaginal steam set for your convenience. You can find out more information on our products at goddessdetox.org, as well as follow at Goddess Detox on Instagram. Tell them Olanike OC sent you. Hey, beautiful selfish babe. Today's selfish talk is called Styling from the Inside Out with beautiful selfish babe, Dawn Karen. Now, Dawn Karen is known as the fashion psychologist. She is the mother of the fashion psychology field and is the founder of Fashion Psychology Institute. You can find her on Instagram at Dawn_Karen. That is DAWNN_KAREN. And on today's episode, you are in for a treat. We are talking about fashion, how it influences your self-love, how you can wear certain things to boost your confidence, your self-esteem, as well as attract a new love into your life. Dawn is also sharing her own personal traumatic experience that she has experienced, and I think a lot of women can relate. A lot of selfish babes can relate. So let's get into it. Hey, beautiful selfish babe. It is your girl, Olanike OC here, bringing you another Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast. And on today's podcast, I am with fashion psychologist, Miss Dawn Karen. Say hello, Dawn.
Hey, how you doing?
Now, Miss Dawn, would you be able to introduce yourself for the selfish babe listening?
Yes, so my name is Dawn Karen, as she stated. I am the fashion psychologist. I'm the founder of the Fashion Psychology Institute, the pioneer or the mother of the fashion psychology field. I'm also a professor at a fashion school in New York, and I have a consultancy, and that's pretty much what I do.
Okay. I love it. And for the selfish babe wondering, what is fashion psychology? Because we hear about psychology, and we kind of think, I think Freud, like the first thought that comes to my mind. So what is fashion psychology?
Yes, so I'm like the Freud of fashion psychology. So yeah, there are not a lot of mothers of fashion psychology, so I'm like one of them. But yeah, so fashion psychology is all about the science behind why we wear what we wear. And that can be related to emotions and mood and whatnot. So I kind of get into the study and the treatment behind it.
Okay, I'm loving it. So on today's podcast, Selfish Babe, we're going to be talking about styling from the inside out. But as you know, before, usually when I have any guests on, I love for them to kind of talk about a traumatic experience or obstacle that they may have experienced and how that kind of brought them closer to self-love, just so that you can understand that we have all been through traumatic things, but that doesn't stop us, right? So we can move on from them or move through them and gain some things from them and then continue to chase after our goals and our dreams and our desires. So, Miss Dawn, I wanted to know, what would be your traumatic experience or obstacle that you faced in the past?
Yes. So, a couple years ago, I was attending Columbia University for counseling psychologists to be a traditional therapist. My specialty was all about sexual assault and womb trauma. And so I was really at the point where I was delving into like generational curses or epigenetics. So the mere factor that you can pass on your grandmother was sexually assaulted, or her her mother was sexually assaulted. These things can be passed down. Trauma could be passed down and relived, and trauma could be experienced in the body. So I was all about womb and like sexual healing and whatnot. And so at the time I was working at the Rape Crisis Center on Columbia's campus.
I'm gonna pause you really quick. How old were you at that time?
I was 22. I was 21, 22.
Okay.
22 years old. I was engaged. I moved from Ohio. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, a small city compared to New York. And then I came to New York with big dreams. I'm like, oh, I'm going to be like the Dr. Phil or like the Queen of Fua of like sexual health. Like that was me, but like in the psychology frame, you know? And so when this traumatic experience happened, it like changed my world. I was really confused. I was wondering, was this my fault? How could I be the psychologist and then I'm turning into the client? I couldn't find the words to really articulate how I felt. And so I used my clothing. I experienced the sexual assault like by the hands of my fiance. A lot of people would feel like, oh, it's your lover. How could they violate you? But these things actually happen. They have a specific term for it in psychology called interrelationship violence, IRV. But in layman's terms, it was a sexual assault. And so it changed my life. I felt unlovable. I felt undesirable. I felt confused. I also wanted to protect him as well because I didn't want him to go to jail. So I was it was just really a mix of emotions. And being that I was in such an expert role as a psychologist, I didn't feel comfortable really talking to another psychologist for it because
interesting though?
Right. And I'm supposed I turned into the victim and I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody. So at the time I was also like working simultaneously in the fashion industry. And I knew a lot of girls who in the industry were being violated. I mean, it's the norm, like to be objectified. It's the norm. And they didn't really own their sexuality. They were victimized by it. Yeah. And it was seen as like a bad thing. And so I was just in between these worlds, like the world of Freud during the day and then the world of fashion at night. So it was just two different worlds. And I just said, let me combine them and trying to heal myself and bring this alignment because I felt like there was like this misalignment going on. I didn't feel good in inside, but then I dressed so well on the outside because I worked in the industry. So I was really
Did you feel like because you didn't feel good on the inside, but you dressed so good on the outside, did you kind of feel like a fraud almost? Like did any of those feelings come to mind?
Yeah, like I felt like I wasn't being myself. Like I was just trying to fake it. You know, they say fake it to make it. That was what was happening. And so I just didn't, like, I didn't feel authentic. There's an authentic sense of self. I didn't feel the authenticity. And I just began, like I said, using clothes and examining my clothes. So this caused me to come up with theories. Like the fact that I felt like I was being a fraud, I was trying to flip it and say, maybe I'm not being a fraud. Maybe I'm trying to elevate my mood. So I came up with this theory, mood enhancement dress. It's dressing to optimize your mood. So if you wake up on the wrong side of the bed, wake up in a funk, you could actually go to your closet, find brighter color clothes, and some fabrics that you like, and just wear them and use it to optimize your mood. And so that's what I was doing, even though I felt like a fraud. So I found this out, like, oh, maybe I'm not a fraud. Maybe I'm mood enhancement dressing. And
all right, Dawn, so on the day or the night that your ex-fiance sexually assaulted you, what happened? Like, would you be able to go into detail about that?
Yes, I'm so glad to be in a place where I can talk about it without crying because I feel like that's what healing is all about. So I finally reached that point. I was planning for my wedding and he was coming to visit me from Ohio because we were making preparation for him to relocate to New York City where I reside. And so we went to dinner and he was seeming a bit like distant from me. Like he wasn't really talkative. And so I was like kind of wondering what's going on. But we were in a public place, so I didn't want to really like make a fuss about it. And later on that night, we went home and I was just kind of like, what's going on? Like, let's talk about it. We're in private, we're inside of my apartment. And he just came out he was just kind of like trying to talk, but then he was not, like, you know. And so when we went to bed that night, like everything that I think he had battled up inside, whatever he was like going through, he just lashed out on me. And so I just remember during it, I blanked out and I was like, no, I don't want to do this. This is not sexy. You know,
so he was trying to like kiss you and stuff or trying to be sexual.
Yeah. At a time when we should be talking, be talking, or if we're not talking, let's just go to bed. Like, you know, visit this tomorrow. Yeah. And he was just very forceful and I was telling him to stop, and lo and behold, like, you know, the occurrence happened. I just remember blacking out and then like waking up, and he did some, he actually choked me. I never said this out loud. He actually choked me. So I ended up blacking out. I ended up waking up and like looking at my clothes and seeing them like ripped off, and like, and he was still there, but he wasn't in the bed. He was actually sitting in the corner. So sort of like, you know, like when a dog does something wrong and they kind of bend their heads down, like they kind of knew instinctively, like, hey, I did something wrong. I violated her. Yeah. And so he was like begging me like not to call the police, you know, and saying he's sorry. He was like on his knees crying, you know, profusely. And I, you know, it's someone you love. So it's like, love like betrays you. It's kind of like, it's confusing. Like, I love you, but then you violated me. I remember being very confused. And I ran out of my apartment, like, and I wanted a car to hit me. So this is like one of the darkest moments of my life. I wanted a car to hit me. I didn't want to feel anymore. Like, I was like, hey, just take me out. I don't want to be here anymore. This is not life. Like, I was like, hey, this is my fiance. I have a wedding date. I think it was like March, a month that begins with an M. Yeah. And we were supposed to get married July 17th. I had my dress, like everything. And so I'm like, what? You know, people, we sent out invitations. So it's like very confusing. And I remember,
after you had ran out, like basically after that experience, was it like, as you said, though, it's very confusing. So then you ran out, and then it's just like, it just felt, did you feel like, so like you said, it's a dark place, like you felt very low at that time. You're just like, oh, this is a lot for me right now.
Like, I just felt like extremely overwhelmed. Like, I just, you know, you feel like a tsunami of emotions. Like, it was just too much. I didn't want to be here anymore. Like, I didn't want to feel that amount of pain. I think most of it was that because it was unexpected. It's not, my guard is totally down. It's not like a stranger on the street or, you know. So I ran out, and I remember running to the park. If there's a park, and it's like Hudson River is right there. I just need to be by the water, the sea, or, you know, like just water, you know, period. And so I prayed, and then I ended up walking back, and I just told him, you have to leave. Like, you have to leave. I called my parents. My parents were like, what do you want us to do? Because they were in Ohio. One of them ended up calling the police, the campus police, and the campus police showed up at my door, and they wanted me to file a report. So I filed a report with the campus police, not the NYPD, because at that time I was trying to protect him, you know. I didn't want to send him to jail. I remember thinking that, like, you know, personally, he just made a mistake. And so he ended up getting on the bus, because he took the bus to from Ohio, and he ended up going home. And I remember I spoke with his parents, and his parents said, do not, you know, we hope that you don't press charges. And something I found out too, like right before the police came, so right when I got back to the apartment, before the police actually got there, I said, you, and this is based off my research, so I took the victim hat off and I put the psychologist hat on, and I said, because usually people who violate others, they've been violated. So I said, have you been violated in any way? Like, did somebody touch you as a child? And he was like, yeah, his cousin did. So I was like, okay. So remember, I learned this. So I was like, I sent him home. I said, get some counseling.
That was something that you learned about him right after that incident, right?
Yeah. So I wanted us to go to counseling so he can work on himself and I can work on myself.
Yeah.
And get married. But the therapist that we had gone to, she said, he needs a little bit more help. Like, you're trying to heal from him, but he's the perpetrator. And she was just like, you know, you need to do separate healing. And so we end up ending the relationship. Even though I was trying to hold on, he went back to Ohio. Like I said, I tried to repair it, but
what was the time frame of that? Like, how many months after the incident were you guys trying to fix things, or were you trying to fix things?
Yeah, so it was like a month later. Like, after we went home, I said you can come back and we can try to fix it. We can try to go to counseling, but the counselor was like, no, like you can't do this. And so, but you know, you can have sympathy for your abuser, your perpetrator. Yeah. And so I just did my best to like move on, and how I moved on was through my clothing. Like, no matter what, I had to dress up. I had to get up and dress up. So I wondered, like, I know there are other women who have been violated. Some people try to cover up their bodies.
Yeah, you know,
they're not a target. But in my case, I was really trying to dress up my body and try to help myself from like the inside, improve my mood. And so that's came up with this whole notion of mood enhancement dress. And I discovered, if I don't want to dress up, then what is that? Like, because I'm being true to myself. So what is that? And so I realized that's something called mood illustration dress. So dressing to perpetuate your current mood. So it's okay for me not wanting to uplift my mood, but I just want to stay right where I am and just, you know, so I realized it was all about this internal and external alignment. And that's how I came up with this whole notion of styling from the inside out. You know, this was how fashion psychology was born or birthed.
And so just to backtrack before we move on, through that experience, and you can always continue to do your healing after different traumatic experiences, but how have you felt that you have healed or is continuing to heal from that experience? Just for any selfish babe that has gone through something similar, you know, in terms of recommendations or what you did.
Yeah, so like I said, I did clothing. I actually even just got more in tune with my womb. So yes, clothing is great. Also, the underwear that I wear is great as well. So I only wear, I've never said this out loud, but no one knows, I only wear black underwear.
Wow, why?
about 10, 10, 12, 15 pairs of black underwear, and they're lace.
Yes.
Because lace black makes me feel sexy, because I didn't want to use my sexuality because I experienced sexual assault. Yeah. So it was a way for me to reclaim my sexuality. So I only wear, no matter what I'm wearing, I could wear like sweatpants, black lace underneath. So
wow, I love that. So I mean, I think that is phenomenal, because literally I've never heard about that before, and it's so great to have you in the role of being a fashion psychologist. So like, even the thing that you went through is just like, okay, so if a woman that did experience sexual assault wanted to reclaim her sexuality, because oftentimes women feel very distanced from it after. So you're saying wear black lace underwear. At least that works. That's what works for you. Like, that's
maybe cool. Red works for someone else. You know, red lace. You know, or maybe white. But the black lace. I tell you, I don't have any color. I threw all of my color. You know, you go to Victoria's Secret, you buy all the color pen. I threw them out.
Yeah.
I did like a closet overhaul, but threw my panties away.
Yeah.
And now I only wear black, and I think that was really important for me, like you said, because you lose it. And so I was like, no matter what, if I don't have to be showing skin to be sexy, it could just be my underwear, and no one knows that, you know.
Yeah, only you know that, so it's very personal. Yeah. I love that.
So it's all about the self-love, because I mean, how can I want to have a new relationship and a healthy relationship if I don't love myself, you know?
Yeah.
I really want to work on healing myself. And so I told you it started with the external, right?
Yeah.
Also, the external includes the underwear.
Yes, it does. I like that. Okay, so you said you were doing womb healing, and then you did the underwear. And I know you also mentioned the clothing. Continue.
Yes, and just surrounding myself with women who have gone through these traumas, and they reclaimed their sexuality. So it may sound strange, but they didn't like shield themselves from being intimate again.
Yeah.
They still were like, hey, I'm still going to be intimate and just be a woman, you know, and be feminine, you know, and exist in that womanhood. So I just surrounded myself. I did notice a lot of women, since I came out with my story, a lot of women, they come to me and tell me. So
yeah.
It's almost like even if they tell me through text or something, or send me an email, it becomes like a healing circle, because you're rebuilding.
Wow.
you know, and your trauma and purging yourself, you know, mm-hmm. from the inside, you know, so that you can put these fabulous clothes on and, you know, be, you know, sexy and be a woman. So that's pretty much what I did.
I like that. And I like that in terms of you surrounding yourself with women that may have gone through similar experiences, but then them saying that they continue to be intimate. I like that because a lot of women have gone through those experiences. So this is why I think it's super honest in friendships to be honest about what you've been through. I know that there's a lot of people that have friendships where they may not go there. They may not talk about, well, what traumatic experience have you gone through, or have you ever been sexually abused? Because yeah, we can ask our personal intimate partner, have they experienced these things? But I also think it's great for us to know if our friends experience these things, because more than likely they have. And then it's like you guys kind of have a more of a different connection because you guys can share that. So just like Dawn had mentioned, she came out and talked about her story. So then she may have certain friends or people hit her up through email or through a text message. And now it's like there's some type of connection made. You feel okay to talk about it. And I think that is part of the healing, being okay to talk about it and being vulnerable in that way. So I'm really glad that you mentioned that. And now we're going to go into styling from the inside out, because from this experience, you have a whole field of fucking psychology, literally a whole fucking field of psychology, right? That can really help women and men with their mood and with how they feel about themselves on the inside. So what is styling from the inside out, and how we talk about internal and external alignment, all of that?
Yeah, so internal, external alignment. I just tell clients and my students to do a self-check-in, and, you know, because oftentimes we're not aware, you know, of how we feel. We're on autopilot. Because, you know, we play these many roles, student, employee, lover, sister, brother, whatever, you know. So we're not in tune with how we feel until we blow up, you know, and like, oh my God, I'm angry. Yeah. So like literally lying in bed before, you know, you get out of bed, before you go to your closet, before you get that cup of coffee, before you brush your teeth, ask yourself, self, how am I feeling? Dawn Karen, how am I feeling today? Well, I'm feeling okay.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, and it's like, okay, do I want to be in this okay, this somber mood, or do I want to be a little bit more chipper? And I'm like, okay, I want to be a little more chipper today, you know? You know, so I'll literally go to my closet and put on my sequin robe, you know? And then the next day, I may be like, Dawn, Karen, how are you feeling today? Oh, I'm feeling kind of chill. All right, then I'll just put on my big t-shirt, you know, and some leggings and call it a day, you know? So it really just depends, you know, just doing the self-check-in. And once you do the self-check-in and then you dress accordingly, whatever, you're doing mood illustration dress or mood enhancement dress. I even have clients who even wear the same outfits every day. They're like, hey, I feel a certain way. I don't want to feel too happy. I don't want to feel like melancholy. I just want to be like even keel, like just in the middle, calm. So they actually wear the same, like the same, either the same outfit or the same colors, like all black. For the whole week.
And from their experiences from wearing the all black all week, for example, if they're wanting to just be in the middle, like what have they said?
They find that their work performance improves because they're not necessarily worried about how, what they wear or what, you know, what's with this color, that color. They find that their work, and even research says this, their work performance improves. That, and then these persons are kind of like the laid back persons in the group. Like they're just kind of chill. Mostly guys are like this too. Mostly this is mostly like a guy thing. Like maybe they don't wear the exact same outfit due to hygienic purposes, but the same, you know, shirt and pants, same colors. I know most of our boyfriends are like this, you know, if you have one. Most brothers in our family. So, you know, they can't be bothered. So this is called repetitious wardrobe complex when you wear the same outfits or wear the same colors, you know?
And that's just to be in the middle.
There's
nothing wrong with you, you're just in the middle.
You just chill. You don't want to be bothered, like, you know, you don't want emotions going up and down, you know, you're just like, I'm cool, I'm relaxed.
That reminds me of like, because in my elementary school, we had to wear school uniforms, and they were like, I guess one of the reasons was so that you don't have to worry about dressing cool or dressing a certain way for other people. So when you mentioned that with the repetitious dressing that it can improve like your work mood or your work performance. I was like, I wonder if that's why schools have uniforms, so you're not really stressed and like worried about that. Yeah. But I will say everybody put their own style to it. I will be saying, even though, because it's like, it's not like the child chose that, you know, the parent chose that, the school chose that, and it may have, you know, improved their work performance. But I know if you intentionally did that, it's different. So like people intentionally doing that, I think that's cool too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's I even had a client, same situation with the uniform. And when he grew up, he did Catholic school the whole, all his life. And yeah. when he became an adult, he got into his career, he only brought like the same colors, yellows, browns, and blues. The same colors. If you looked in his closet, there's a video on YouTube about it, but if you look in his closet, it's the same, everything is like the same colors. So he kind of felt like he was weird. Mm-hmm. And so once I counseled him, we had a session, we discovered that it's because he went to Catholic school. So he never had a chance to really delve into this whole framework of like expressing his creativity. Mm-hmm. Like most of us do, like if you're okay, I wore uniform up until I was in high school, and then I got a chance to express myself in high school when I went to a public school, and I got to, you know, cut stuff, wear different colors. And so he never really got that experience. So now when he has the freedom as an adult, and you know, he worked in his career, he just wants to kind of stick to this uniform, this repetitious wardrobe, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a few examples, and I'm glad you're here so we can ask the expert if you don't mind giving, because I know that there's some selfish rib out here listening that have probably one out of four of these scenarios. And so, you know, them coming to you, the fashion psychologist, I want them to get a little taste of like how that would look. So let's say that you are a selfish babe out there, and you are going through depression, and you find it very hard to just do simple things, but you know you want to do them. And so if you're going through depression, what would you recommend in terms of styling? What can they buy, or what colors in their wardrobe would be good for that?
Yeah, so I would actually say bright colors. Brighter colors, according to research, is known to are known for positive associations. Darker colors are more so known for negative associations. And in this framework, I would say brighter colors. So right now, neon is in. So yeah. Even neon colors like green, like a yellow. Yellow, you know, yellow is for like the sun and happiness, you know. Yeah. Even pinks. Pink is more so femininity. I would, if you're a woman and you're sort of struggling, or you're a guy, and you want to kind of get in touch with that softer side of you, that side where you're being gentle to yourself, wearing pink could actually do that. So, like I said, to alleviate depression, just brighter colors in general, and then even your favorite color, like, yeah, you know, whatever your favorite color is that makes you happy, because it's also individual based off of individual basis.
Yeah. My favorite color is lavender. I've been seeing little lavender stuff pop up, because it's very specific. It's like purple, but not really purple, but lavender. So that's cool. So what about the selfish babe that's like, you know, I'm really shy, but I really want to build my confidence when I'm talking to people, or I want to be able to talk to people more. So what colors would you suggest for me to build my confidence, or even like feel good about talking to people?
Yeah, so I wouldn't even say, I would say, if I had to say a color, I would say gold or red. Red, red is like action color. Gold is like regal. Purple is like regal. So sort of wearing things to sort of draw attention to you, because, or even like patterns. So like even wearing something with sequins on it, or leopard, anything that kind of makes you stand out. So I would more so lean towards patterns and like a red if I had to pick a particular color. And someone will give you a compliment. Someone will say, oh, I like that sequined, or I like that red blouse. And you're like, oh, thank you. And then bam, start a conversation. So wear something that kind of makes you stand out. Yeah. Like I said, red is for action. Purple is for royalty. Wearing a leopard pattern, zebra pattern, sequins, wearing all white, you know, white is like purity, innocence. So, you know, wearing things that make you stand out so that you can get that conversation started.
I like that. Now, this one I wanted to ask. I know that there's a selfish babe out there that I want to ask. So I'm going to ask you, girl, because I got you. So for the selfish babe out there that wants to attract their mate, what should they be wearing? They want to attract a mate. They want their mate to come up to them. You know, that's they're ready for love. That's what they're ready for. So for the selfish babe ready for love, what should they be wearing?
All right. This is so funny. Okay, well, notice how I said red is an action color. I was saying that so you could draw some attention and get someone to talk to you. Yeah. Well, also in dating, according to research, wearing red can snag you a man. So you can wear red nails, red lipstick. You can even carry a red laptop or a red purse. Anything red outfit will attract the male to you. And this is based off of research. Because there's a biological component and then a cultural component. Just because culturally we associate red with love, Valentine's Day. Yeah. Biologically, even when they did studies with monkeys, they determined that they're attracted to red. It's something about has to do with reproduction and mating and whatnot. So yes, girl, get you a little red dress, not a little black dress, a little red dress, and yeah, let me see that ring.
I like that. I like when you mentioned like red laptop and red purse, because normally I wouldn't even think about that. I would never think red purse. I think black just because I just get used to wearing black, but just like that is like a standout color, you know? And that's something that usually women have with them is a purse or a bag or something, or even if you just carry a little wallet. So having that be red, I like that. The red laptop, let's say, I'm just setting up the scenario for you, selfish babe. Let's say, you know, you doing some work, you went to the coffee shop and you did buy yourself a red laptop and you're doing some work. Mm-hmm. And then cutie across over there just happens to notice that red laptop. And for some reason, cutie wants to get up and talk to you and buy you a coffee. So I'm just setting up the scenario for this to happen. So that red laptop, something that you use almost every day. Wow. Yeah. I like that.
Yes. Yes. So that's an accessory. A laptop is an accessory, just like our phones are accessories. So ladies, get a red laptop or a red laptop case.
I like that. So for the selfish babe out there, like, as you can see, the way you dress and fashion psychology really can work with your self-love, because I was going to ask you, well, how can fashion psychology bring you closer to self-love? And from what we're talking about, what I'm seeing is like the way that you dress can attract certain things into your life. The way that you dress can boost your mood, or you can be authentic to your mood at that time and keep it the same. But is there anything else, Dawn, that you want to add on in terms of like how fashion psychology, how a woman can harness that, learn more about it, get in contact with you on how that can bring them closer to self-love or you know, have that in their life?
Yeah, so again, it's just all about just being aware of your moods. Don't wait to the last minute until you feel overwhelmed and you're about to have a panic attack. Don't wait until the last minute. Label how you feel and work through it. You know, you don't always have to experience something traumatic to feel a sense of gloom over you or this depression over you. It could be something that happened years ago that just kind of creeps up. You know, life happens and things kind of creep up. So don't just wait until the last minute. That's why I'm always telling clients and students, be aware of how you feel and then dress accordingly. Also, you know, you don't necessarily have to dress for trends. You don't necessarily have to dress for the weather. You don't necessarily have to dress for an occasion or because your mom and dad or your boyfriend. No, dress for yourself. I think like entities, you know, these authority figures in our lives that are telling us what to wear, how to wear it. No, be true to yourself and wear whatever you want to wear. If it's 20 degrees outside and you want to wear a bright neon shirt, wear it. You know, just because it's winter doesn't mean that you have to wear all black sweater. Like, wear whatever you want to wear, you know, even if it looks like you're overdressed or you're underdressing, just be authentic to how you feel and your style.
I like that a lot, the whole dressing for yourself, because I will agree, especially even growing up, you know, this came out, like the latest sneakers came out, or this outfit came out, and you want to be with everybody else, you want to wear what everybody else is wearing. So I like when you said that dressing for yourself, that being a very important thing, not based on what the outside circumstances is, but again, looking within to figure out what it is that you want for you. And that brought me to the question of, like, let's say that you are a selfish babe out there and you may have dressed for everybody else, or like you did go to that Catholic school, and so now you're stepping into your own. What advice would you give about finding your own style? Like figuring out what is your style? What, you know, what is my style? What if you're confused about that? What would you say?
Right. So we see images around us all the time, especially when we're on social media. So girl, if you're on Instagram and you see another girl like, oh, I like her outfit, like, oh, that's cute. You gave her a little heart emoji under her picture because you love the outfit. Well, save it in an album. Save it, because we're going to make like a mood board, like a style board. Save it in an album. So you see different girls on Instagram because we show what other women love. We show other guys love. So you say, you, if you like their outfits, you save them. And then when you go shopping, you can kind of say like, oh, I like what she wore, and go to that album and sort of pick clothing accordingly, according to the styles that you like, and try them on.
I like that a lot. And that's another effective way of using technology, guys. I'm doing a whole podcast about that. But the fact that she says, if you're on Instagram scrolling and you saw another woman's outfit and you loved it, you gave her a heart for it and you really loved it, now, you know, Instagram, you have your collections. Mm-hmm. You save it, and your collection could be my style board or my style of fashion. And then next time you go out shopping, just like Dawn said, you have it readily available to you in your phone. This is an effective way of using technology to your benefit. Instead of just mindless scrolling, there's intention now. So definitely do that tip. Yes. Now, there was one other thing I thought about, because you mentioned anxiety. And I feel like there's a lot of people out there that do have anxiety just around different things. Are there certain colors that people should wear for anxiety that you would recommend?
Okay, so calming colors, like blue is the number one. Blue is a calming color. Mm-hmm. Pink is also femininity, but you also got to watch out for that because it can trigger anxiety. Mm. There's studies shown that, you know, like if you have a child and you paint the room pink, say if it's a daughter or something, they say that that pink with the lighting, the pink color on the walls with the lighting, could trigger anxiety in the child. So like I said, pink is also a feminine color, but watch out for it. But definitely blue. Blue is for tranquility, it's for calmness. So sort of kind of lean towards this. Blue is like the number one, I would say. Blue and maybe like a pale yellow. Yellow is for happiness, but
I like that.
This blue and yellow seems to be the choices. Yeah,
I like that very much. I was gonna say, so sometimes I've been ending podcasts with affirmations. Mm-hmm. So I've never tried this with anybody. So this is the first time, Dawn. Like, you're the first person. So, okay. So I want to give the selfish babe listening two affirmations that will aid in her being authentic to her sense of style and dress, or just her wanting to even be more fashionable for herself, wanting to even like dive into that, you know, because that's a, sometimes there could be a woman out there that's like, I don't really even care about my clothes like that, but I actually do want to care now. I want to try this styling from the inside out. So I want to know, we're going to do this together, but two affirmations that women can say to kind of get into this.
Out of many styles, one mind. Out of many styles, one mind. Okay. Which basically is like, we're inundated with all these fashion choices, and it may give you anxiety, freak you out, like, I don't know what to wear. And so you have to maintain this sense of peace, this oneness. So out of styles, one mind.
I like that.
And then I would just say the motto that I always say, styling from the inside out. I am styling from the inside out.
I like that. I am styling from the inside out. I actually love that. All right, so these are the three that I came up with. Mm-hmm. So my clothing attracts the right people in my corner. My clothing attracts the right people in my corner. My clothing attracts the right people in my corner. That was for the confidence piece that we had talked about. Mm-hmm. My sense of fashion speaks to who I am. My sense of fashion speaks to who I am. My sense of fashion speaks to who I am. Oh, okay. I was like trying to read the third one. The third one is, the clothes for me stand all the way out. I know how to dress. The clothes for me stand all the way out. I know how to dress. The clothes for me stand all the way out. I know how to dress. And I'm going to say Dawn's last two just so that the Selfish Babe listening, you can, you know, write this down. I am styling from the inside out. I am styling from the inside out. I am styling from the inside out. Out of many styles, one mind. Out of many styles, one mind. Out of many styles, one mind. I love it. So for the Selfish Babe out there, you know, now you have some affirmations to say to kind of get you in that mindset of, I really do want to take more accountability for, you know, how I feel, first of all. I want to dress for how I feel. And I want to also harness the way that I appear on the outside as well and get closer to my self-love. And so I really like the fact that Dawn was able to give some advice on how to dress for your mood. I like that you were able to talk about your traumatic experience and actually, you know, take us there, because, you know, even going back to, like, this is like, you know, at one point the love of your life, right? And so I know that there's so many Selfish Babes that have experienced something similar. So I want to say, Dawn, thank you very much for your expertise. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for using what happened to you and the way that you healed to help a lot of other people. And like even the whole like black lace underwear, like, you know, that's just so random, but it's like very helpful because we never really think about our underwear like that usually. Right. So I think like wearing that type of underwear is very intentional. And so just thank you for using your creative genius and your talent and actually having enough confidence to put it out there. You know, putting it out there, like I mentioned, it's a whole field of freaking psychology. You're a woman, and I'm just gonna put this out there too, but you're a black woman, and I think that's amazing as well. So thank you so much, Dawn, for joining us. If the Selfish Babe listening wants to contact you, wants to become a client of yours, how can she get in contact with you?
Yes, so my website is fashionpsychologysuccess.com. You can look under the section where it says make an appointment, and I am offering a discount for all Selfish Babe app users. So if you haven't downloaded the app or you need to download the app, you need to download it today so you can get that discount. And so, yeah, I do a bit of clairvoyant counseling while I am styling you. So it's new age, it's cutting edge, and stay tuned for my book that's coming out. I believe it's tentatively titled Styling from the Inside Out. It'll be published around this time in 2020. So thank you for having me, and I can't wait to have all the Selfish Babes as clients. Thank you for having me.
Yes, beautiful. Thank you, love.
Hey, beautiful. Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Selfish Babe Selfish Talk podcast. If you feel like this episode has helped you in any way and you think that it could be impactful to a girl or a woman that you know, definitely send this episode to her. Also, make sure to download our Selfish Babe app to receive self-love inspirational messages throughout your day, found in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. You can also head over to our website, selfishbabe.com, to join the community, find out about our Self-Love Academy, and to shop our apparel. You can follow at Selfish Babes with an S on Instagram, or you can also follow me on Instagram at AlinieGayOC. I affirm that you have an amazing day. I will connect with you on the next episode, and I love you. Mwah.